You're in a good place now. Relax, breathe, smile. You've entered into your element, the home of origin, the home of intelligence and beauty, where relevant topics are discussed, where what you think counts, and where superior is the norm. You are listening to Perspectives with Ashley Burgess.
We're going to draw some perspective. We're going to draw a road and some phone poles and a building going into the distance with some mountains and shadows and all that kind of stuff. We're going to do it really fast. You can't do perspective without a horizon that you're looking into the distance at.
Welcome back live to Perspectives, and I'm your host, Ashley Burgess. You know, on tonight's show, we're discussing what should the New Year's represent for you, and how can 2015 be your best year ever? You know, I think a lot of times we put a lot of stock into New Year's Eve. We put a lot of stock into the new year. But why do we do that? And what's up with the whole resolution thing? I mean, there comes a point when you have to realize that there's a reason what the new year represents. And I think tonight is where we're going to start talking about that and give you some answers for things that you can begin to do right now throughout the new year and have the best year yet. Bill, how are you doing?
I am doing wonderful, and thanks for having me on. And it's the new year is almost upon us, isn't it?
My goodness, it's almost here.
Here it is, and here
goodbye,
I am.
Goodbye, 2014.
And I'm still dealing with a scratchy throat.
After, it's only been 3 months, four weeks, and two days.
It's like the never-ending allergy attack.
The gift that keeps on giving the whole year long. I should have given you like the Jelly of the Month Club, too, on top of that, or maybe the Lozenger
I was about to say the cough drop of the month club.
That'd be awful. What an awful deal on that one. You can have like coffee flavored though, like vanilla bean.
Actually, my favorite is the lemon honey drop.
Because
that way it's just like candy.
Makes my mouth water. Eric, how you doing?
Hey, you know, Bill, is 2015 the year of the scratchy throat? Is that what's going on? You're trying to usher in the year of the scratchy throat?
Either that or I haven't had it all year, so I'm trying to get it in, you know, before the year turns.
That's awful. I am wonderful, Ashley. It's 2015. I'm still trying to party like it's 1999.
That was a good year.
That was a good year,
man.
That
was a great year.
Yeah, 2015.
How much money has Prince made off that song in royalties?
Not as much as he did in 1998.
Well, but still, I mean,
that was awesome. Maybe a little less.
Maybe a little less.
But still, I bet he makes some bank off that song.
That's a millennial anthem, man. I'm sure he is.
Also, where were you? Okay, so where were you in 1999, December 31st, 1999? I remember exactly where I was.
I don't remember exactly where I was, but I was back in my hometown, you know, at a New Year's Eve party. And watching the ball fall on TV. I was in kind of my rut.
Okay, that was rut time.
Yeah, that was my rut
time. So you remember the years that you were in rut and vice versa.
Yes.
So I was at a wedding. A friend of mine got married on December 31st, 1999. I was like, oh, you think you're just so special. Everybody's just going to stop their whole deal from 99 to 2000 to be at your wedding. But yeah, I was there, and it was good. Unfortunately, they have no longer together, but it was a nice wedding. It was pretty cool. And, you know, at that age for me, I mean, going to a wedding that was that extravagant, I'd only been to like one wedding of my friends, you know, and it was kind of like a, what do you call it? The guy of the piece. What is it? The
groom?
No, you know where you go to the courthouse, the justice of the peace.
Okay.
And then you go to like a school, like kind of gymnasium, and they've rented it out for like $200, and you kind of hang out there, and somebody's got a little bit of beer and some punch. Well, this one was like mega cool, you know? And I remember being there thinking, I'm so cool because I got friends like this, you know? But I mean, I remember how, you know, just how my life was then. I wasn't on target. I was going through school and still trying to figure out myself.
Yeah. Ask me where I was. Somebody, where were you? I was in a bunker with weapons and food stored up because I thought it was the end of the millennium.
Oh, the Y2K thing?
Yeah, I was in a bunker.
I can totally see that. I totally see you doing that.
I was in a bunker.
You were really?
No, I'm kidding. It sounded good, though. It sounded good, though, right?
That would have been awesome.
It sounded good. I had everything from the previous 100 years, Chuck Taylor's and all my jazz and some food and some spam and a couple of bullets,
Cases of water.
And cases of water.
Yeah, a couple of bullets in case something bad happens.
Yeah, cases of water and cases of Jack. No, I'm kidding. No. Sounded good, Sandy. 2015 is upon us, folks.
Now I really want to know where he was.
Sleep is where it was.
Oh, jeez. We hear it. So no matter where you were in 1999, in December 31st, 1999, we have 2015 upon us. And so, I asked myself the other day, I said, what should the New Year's represent? What should it represent to me? What should it represent possibly to you? And how can we make 2015 our best year yet? And I think that's what's so important, because we all talk about, it's a new year and all this stuff. But how do we continue to get better? How do we continue to flourish? How do we continue, or maybe not continue doing what we've been doing? Because a lot of times we continue doing things, cycles of events that aren't getting us anywhere. Actually, they're actually holding us back.
Yeah.
So how do we begin doing that? And I think the first thing that I'd like to bring up, and I know that we're going to have a little bit of banter on this tonight, is to leave your limitations behind. I think a lot of times we lead with our limitations. Like if we have a limitation of, I'm not that good at this, or I've never learned that, or I don't know or I don't understand this type of concept, instead of learning it or equating or familiarizing ourselves with these situations, instead, what do? We leave our limitations, we hold our limitations, and those hold us behind.
I don't know if I can wrap my brain around all that.
Really?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I may not be capable of, grasping that concept. I say as she takes a drink of her coffee.
Hot, scalding coffee.
And she spills it on herself,
No, not this time. Maybe last time. No, but you're right. You have to leave your limitations behind. And a lot of times we don't give ourselves any credit. We just sit there and say, no, I'm not good at this. I don't understand this.
Yeah. I look at it kind of like vacation days. I have a bunch of vacation days and I have to use them up before I go into the new year. A few of the days carry over, but the vast majority of the days I have to leave behind. But as I look at my schedule of what I've left behind, it informs me, I think, to a degree of what I need to do in the future. So, but I don't know. There's a concept, Ashley and Bill, called West African concept called Sankofa. And it's a picture of a bird, Sankofa, I think.
Okay.
And it's a picture of a bird facing forward but looking backwards, and I've always kept a picture of that in a lot of my
art.
How
can you face forward and look backward?
You have to look at the bird. Look it up. Sankofa. Okay. Facing forward and looking backward. It's got a neck so it can turn around, but the body's facing forward.
I thought you meant the head was facing forward.
Yeah, the body's facing forward.
I was going to say,
will
the eyes come out of the socket and just, rudder?
But what I...
Wow.
it's kind of grisly.
Like Medusa and stuff right there. Like,
what's the horror movie the kid's head spins on
his... Carrie?
Chucky.
No, the Exorcist.
Yeah, the Exorcist.
That's cool.
Yeah,
Carrie, right? Chucky.
Yeah.
No,
that's Carrie.
No, the Exorcist.
Chucky.
Yeah, but her name's Carrie, though, isn't it?
Is it? I don't think so.
I don't know.
I think maybe her name is Carrie. I don't know.
Is it? Okay.
I've never seen that movie. That movie would scare the bejesus out of me, okay? I'm not going to go see that.
The bejesus.
It would. That movie would put you like in the mental institution.
That's the one with the throwing up, right? They're throwing up the green peas.
Yes.
Man, I had a really high level intuitive thought, and you guys took me to throwing up to green peas.
He went there. I didn't go there.
Back to Sankofa. Looking back.
His eyes coming out of his socket. No.
Look.
See how it started? Now you see? Don't throw it this way. I've had coffee. Throw it over there.
Listeners, just look up Sankofa. And the basic premise is looking back in order to look forward. Not looking back from the perspective of carrying all the junk that came before, but looking back to take stock and to give context so you can know and at least have some level of a game plan looking forward into the new year.
I like that, because a lot of times people make the mistake, though, of just staying in the past.
Exactly.
So they stay in the past and they stay to the past and they don't ever really move forward. However, if you realize the past mistakes you've made, that is critical to not make them again and not create this cycle. And I think most of the time, too, we have to stop the cycle of self-criticism. We all criticize ourselves more than anybody else out there. I mean, half of us look at the mirror and go, oh, geez. Oh, geez. Another day, another line, another wrinkle. You know,
another gray hair.
Another gray hair.
You saw my beard.
I haven't gotten that promotion, and I'm looking older. You know, I mean, yeah. You know, life isn't being my friend, but it's like you got to stop criticizing yourself, slow your roll on that, and start being your advocate.
Well, let me play devil's advocate with you on one point, Ashley. If you understand, you know, that there are some things, you know, that are a challenge for you, that maybe you're better at some things than at others.
Yeah.
Then aren't you just being realistic? You know, like for example, with me, I'm not that good at networking, you know, and, you know, my circle of contacts is very small. And I've never been, you know, comfortable with, you know, in a room full of strangers or just going up to introduce myself or whatever. Now, I've gotten a little bit better at it as I've gotten older, but it's still not something that doesn't come natural to me. And so if I understand that, okay, I'm not that good at networking, but, you know, maybe I can compensate for it in other ways. Then it's a bit of constructive criticism, you think?
Yeah, I don't think all the criticism has to be negative. I think, and maybe criticism is an extreme word, but maybe taking stock or putting within context and what have you, but I don't think it's anything negative. Ashley?
Well, so think about it like this. I said self-criticism. So yeah, I get what you're saying, but let's say, okay, I'm not that good at networking, let's say. Well, don't beat yourself up over it. Oh, yeah, my God, I'm the worst networker. Yeah. I'm never going to get there. But try to figure out a way around it. If you need to network and you need that for a reason, find someone that's good at it. Or learn a little bit. But, you know, sometimes we have to learn things that are outside of our comfort zone.
Yeah.
Because I don't think that that's beyond your realm of ability. I think it's just something you don't like to do. I think there's a difference between that, because I see you're a pretty intelligent person that I don't think that would get to you. I just think that there's a difference between what we like to do and what we don't like
to do. So, in other words, it's okay for me to say, well, I'm not that good at networking, but it's not okay for me to say, I'm a horrible person. I can't network.
Life is awful, and I should just go to bed because it's never going to get any better because I'm an awful networker.
And, you know, okay.
Yeah, because I think a lot of times we lead with our limitations.
That's extreme. I talk to my kids a lot about stuff, and one of my son, he always talks about jumping out of an airplane. Well, I'm not going to jump out of an airplane, but you know what? I'll jump off a curb.
Oh my! I'll go with your son maybe and jump out of that plane with him. I got to make sure my insurance will cover it. When we return, we're going to be talking more about what you can do in this new year to have the best year yet in 2015. So stay tuned, because Perspectives with your host, me, Ashley Burgess, will be back in. We'll be back in two shakes.
Turn it up and jump in the deep end on Perspectives with Ashley Burgess. The water's warm and there's a swim-up bar. Glass of Perspective, anyone? Now, here's Ashley.
Welcome back live to Perspectives, and I'm your host, Ashley Burgess. And on tonight's show, we're discussing what you can do this New Year's Eve to make this the best year ever, 2015, to be your best year ever. Because I think a lot of times we forget or we really don't know what the new year represents. You know, a lot of times we get carried away with the partying and the New Year's Eve and the festivities. And then you wake up on January 1 and you go, I feel bad. I haven't changed anything. Is this year going to be any better? Or is it just going to be just as bad as last year?
I've just broken 8 of my resolutions, and it's not even January 2nd yet.
24 hours into it.
You know, not even January 2nd yet, and I've already broken them.
Don't get me started on resolutions. Oh, jeez. That's a setup for failure right there, if I've ever heard of it.
Resolution disappointment. Yeah, yeah.
Let me give the 10 points of disappointment, the 10 points of light for my 2015. Now, so we were talking earlier about how to make this the best year. And so the first thing is that we want to leave our limitations behind.
Yep.
We want to learn from our mistakes. We want to listen. And we want to stop the cycle of self-criticism. Because a lot of times we get into the cycle of just beating ourselves up day after day after day after day. We get so used to just kicking ourselves in the head every day. And we're our worst enemy. I mean, we hurt ourselves more than anybody else can. I mean, we're the one over there going, you'll never do this right. You're always bad. And we got to stop this cycle, because if we don't stop this cycle, we're never going to get anywhere in 2015. We're going to repeat 2014, 13, 12, 10. You know how this goes. So the second thing that you can do to make 2015 the best year yet is you don't want to lead with your losses. Mm. You don't want to lead with your deficits, your setbacks. I think a lot of times when we walk into a room or we're talking to somebody, the first thing that comes out of our mouth is something bad that's happened to us.
Yeah.
Or something in our life that we just haven't figured out, or something that didn't go right. We don't understand why. Instead of that, let's learn from that and let's leave that baggage behind. Because all we're going to get is, oh, poor you. Oh, so sad. And that's a very empty feeling. There's no power in poor you. There's no power in somebody going over there and going, oh, poor you. It's okay. It's okay, little thing. It's so sad. I'm so sad for you. No, it's more like, okay, hey, I'm going to learn from the mistake that I made, or I'm going to learn from the losses that I've had, and I'm going to let those go, and I'm going to start anew.
You know, it's like my grandmother used to say when I was a child, and I would pout because I didn't get my way. Well, just go out in the garden and eat worms.
You know? Well, you had a protein deficit. What was
that? Hey, worms are, I mean, for those of you, you know, who are into, you know, healthy lifestyle, hey, you know, worms are full of protein. I'm telling you.
We're going to have to go figure that one out.
Yeah, I'm going to try that with my modern day kids. Got to eat worms. Call somebody. Daddy's using us, making us eat worms.
Oh, yeah.
Then she say, pick out a long, skinny, slimy one and then a big, fat, juicy one.
Child Protective Services shows up at Eric's house. Sir, we heard that you're having them dig for worms and eat them.
No, it's a true thing.
But foraging for their own protein. Yeah.
I heard it on the radio show. Bill said that. So, yeah, you know,
I'd be okay then.
Put it on me.
Yeah, I don't know. You know, this, you know, you guys know where I stand on the whole pity party thing, man. The new year just for me just represents an opportunity, man. Yeah, I messed up. You know, it goes back to that sports analogy again, being a defensive back and in college. And one of the things that I learned a long time ago is to have a short memory when it comes to mistakes. And I apply that in my life today. Hey, you know, you made a couple mistakes, but the new year represents, opportunity. So pick yourself up.
Hey,
see what you can do.
Your nickname was Toast, wasn't it?
No, you've got me mixed up with the other guy. My nickname was Pick Six.
Ah, yeah. Gotcha. Okay. You were Six Pack.
Or at least, Bill, at least that's what I remember.
Yeah. Ah, there you go.
There you go.
See, short memory there.
There you go.
Memory's an interesting thing.
It
there
is.
You go. You have the
especially
ability.
When it's selective.
Yeah, especially when it's selective, and especially when you live in your own head, you can create your own tomorrow.
I love that.
Yeah,
I love that.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we don't want to lead with our deficits. You know, we want to actually employ. I think we want to employ these setbacks as lessons and reminders to the things that happened in the past. And like what you were talking about earlier, Eric, what was that called? The philosophy with the bird?
Sankofa. Sankofa.
So Sankofa. So the concept of you want to actually employ these as lessons and reminders to you. So, you know, you can look back a little bit and see what happened to not create that cycle again and take a different approach. And this relates to everything from employment
yep.
to relationships to love relationships. If you find yourself in a cycle of a relationship that's constantly not working and you've seen this cycle before, start realizing what part of this are you contributing to this cycle, okay? Because it's not just you're a victim here and this keeps happening to you, because that's just not the way it works. You're part of it. You're 50-50. So figure out, what is it that I'm doing in this relationship? Is it the people I'm picking for the relationship?
Yeah.
Is it the actions? Am I being truthful and honest with this person because this is what I want, or is it because I think this is what they want me to want? Because the thing is that in a relationship, you've got to be honest to figure out who is going to work for you. What coordination of two people will come together and have a joint relationship versus I'm going to lie or I'm going to keep myself undercover because I don't really want them to know what's true me. And then eventually I'm going to be in a relationship that I can't stand. I don't even want to be around this person because we have absolutely nothing in common.
You know, and Ashley, all that you just said just makes so much sense.
Yeah.
And then you wonder why people, you know, can't, you know, get that, you know, get out of that cycle. I think it's because, inertia. It's one of the most powerful forces in the universe, right? Once you get going in a certain direction and get the momentum going, it is so hard to break that momentum, break that cycle. By the way, a shout out to Abora Kiki, our resident scientist.
Well, you know, the thing is, you got to break the cycle. And the reason why people don't like to is because even when something's painful, the body actually likes it. You like it. So even if you're in a painful relationship and you sit there and tell all your friends how awful you feel and how sad it is, you're getting something out of it. Okay, so let's not BS this whole deal. You are getting something out of it because that's what you want. If you continue to have bad relationships, you actually are creating this because you want it. You don't want to have a relationship that works. You got to sit there and look to your center, your core, and figure out, what is it within me that, for some women, why do I keep picking married men? Why do I keep picking married men over and over and over again, and I wonder why they won't leave their wife, and I wonder why I can't have a good relationship? Most women that pick married men pick them because they don't want to actually have a relationship. They want somebody in their life, but then they confuse that relationship with real love, and then they want them to leave their wife.
Is that why they say misery loves company? Because it's on some level they actually, you know, like the misery?
Yes. That's why people are miserable. I mean, if you actually hate being miserable, the thing is that, you know, I'm a therapist. So when you hate being miserable long enough, guess what? You call somebody like me and you go, you know what? My life has sucked for the last 10 years and I don't want 2015 to be another representation of how bad my life has sucked. And they'll come in. And the funny thing, though, about therapy is that you'll have some people that just follow the therapy to the T.
Yeah.
They really work at it because, you know what? They're tired of being so uncomfortable. However, I have a lot of clients that by appointment 5, we've had some solid breakthroughs, and that's when I start getting the voicemails at the office saying, I can't come in because I got this and that, but you know what? I'm not leaving the therapy. I mean, I'm here. You know, it's not about, you know, and it's kind of like, I don't even know what to say because it's never going to be about me. It's about them running away from getting healthy.
Right, because on some level they don't. You know, and of course, we're live tonight, Ashley, on Facebook and Twitter. All you do is go to Ashley Burgess on Facebook or
Perspectives with Ashley Burgess.
Perspectives with Ashley. Yeah.
And you know, go on and talk to us about, you know, write us, you know, right here, you know, just go on and set up a status or go on and copy on what we're talking about. If you have a friend that you know that's constantly avoiding being happy, because I think a lot of people out there have people that constantly go to them and say, poor me, this is my life. And you have to hear it over and over again to the point where you don't even want to be around that person anymore.
Yeah.
Because every time you go around them, you're around that person and they're always talking about how bad their life is.
You remember a couple of years ago, Ashley, that a guy I was friends with,
mm-hmm.
and it just got to the point where I just cut it off with him.
Yeah.
You keep feeling like you're supposed to give advice and they never take any of it.
Oh, and that's the part that just set me off. It's like, dude, when are you going to pull the wool out from over your eyes here?
Yeah.
She's not going to come back to you. Okay.
Yeah.
You know, and all you're doing is letting her screw you over. You know, you got to stop. And he, you know, oh yeah, man, you're right. And then a week would go by. I called her and then she treated me badly. You know, it's like, what do you expect,
and,
man?
And it gets over time. It gets very difficult to sit on the sideline and watch that. I have a cousin like that. And, you know, God bless him. I love him to death. But he goes from one bad relationship to another, to another, to another. And unfortunately, in each relationship, typically a child comes from it, you know.
And then he turns around and he says
I can't stand women, women are all whatever, whatever. And after a while, I just got sick of being around them. I mean, I just got sick of being around them because you try to at least be an opposing example, and they like that misery, to Ashley's point. And great point, Ashley. I mean, I took a little bit from that myself because I've done some self-damage in my own life. And so I don't think that's an outlier situation. I think the vast majority of people struggle with that dynamic.
Oh, I like that, Eric. I like that. Yeah, and it's funny about the whole concept of the baby's mama and they're all just bad women. Well, yeah, you set yourself up each time for the same thing. You'll get the same thing every time.
Exactly.
So stay tuned, because when we return, we're going to give more tips on how you can actually make this 2015 the best year yet. Perspectives with Ashley Burgess will be back in, we'll be back in two shakes.
This is Jake Busey, and you're listening to Perspectives with Ashley Burgess.
Welcome back live to Perspectives, and I'm your host, Ashley Burgess. And on tonight's show, we've been discussing what should the New Year's represent, and how can 2015 be your best year yet? You know, right before the break, we talked about how not to lead with your losses, not to lead with your deficit or your setbacks, but actually to employ these as lessons and reminders, you know, to end certain cycles. You know, it depends on what it is, but we have a lot of times we have relationship cycles that we create in our own life, or we have employment cycles that we create. And we always think that we're kind of the victim. We're the victim here. The victim, where this always happens to me. The relationship, we always break up, this always goes this direction, or I always get to this level of, you know, the interviews, and they always just, you know, they can me. And I think there's a lot of times we don't sit there and look within ourselves and say, what are we doing to have this action placed upon us? What are we doing? Are we going to the wrong interviews? Are we trying to do something that we really don't want to do? Or instead, do we not really want a relationship, or are actually wanting a relationship but asking or getting in relationships with people that don't?
Isn't it Einstein's definition of insanity?
Yeah, to keep doing the same thing over and over again. And I think a lot of people do that. It's just the cycle. It's just slick cyclical.
And I think a lot of people just don't even think about it. They do the same things over and over again, just don't put any thought. It's just so ingrained in that person. You know, I guess because of their life experiences, or maybe their personality types, or whatever. I mean, I don't know the reason why. But it's like you see a person doing the same thing over and over that gets them hurt, and you're wondering why. You know, of course, I mean, we're better. Everyone's better at solving someone else's problems than our own, right?
Yeah, yeah, but to a degree,
I'm harder, a therapist. I can't sit there. I can't really go with that analogy. I mean, I can't solve someone else's problems, but I can see exactly what's holding them back, and it's always them.
Yeah,
you know, because you're right. You see people going through the same cycle on every single level of their life. And you know, you're right, Bill. Yeah. You see people walking and they walk a certain way. They act a certain way. And a lot of times that's because they've gotten trained to that. Like, if you're trained to do something every single day.
Yeah.
Like, think about if you eat 5,000 calories a day. Let's just say, and you don't work out, you don't do anything. And one day you decide, I'm going to be on this super diet and I'm going to only intake 1,800 calories a day.
Overnight, you just switch.
Yeah. Yeah. You know how your body's going to react?
It's
freak out.
Yeah,
because
we are physical beings, and your body and your mind, rightly or wrongly, it flips it for you. And so when you're doing things that are destructive, and I've seen it. I mean, I've seen a person become overtaken by, I don't know if it's endorphins, Ashley, you know more about that stuff than I do, but when they're doing something wrong and bad for themselves, their brain actually rewards them and is backwards to the point where they subconsciously or consciously think it's actually a good thing, like the eating. I don't want to pick on that, but your brain centers reward you for overeating to some degree, especially
the endorphins.
Endorphins, if you've overdone it for a while.
Especially if you got a food addiction.
If you got a food addiction, whatever it might be. And I don't want to pick on that. And how do I know? Because I've been the same type of person in other areas. And I'm in a bad situation. I'm saying to myself, my brain has actually flipped it to the point to where biologically I feel like I'm being rewarded by bad behavior.
Well, and Ashley, this might be
weirdest thing.
Yeah, this might be a bit of a tangent, but you know, what about people who have like an addictive personality? I'm not talking about drugs or alcohol necessarily, but if you have an addictive personality where it's just for whatever, you know, maybe medical reason, maybe physical reason, whatever, you just, you know, get caught up in these certain cycles that are harmful to you, but you just can't seem to do anything about it.
Well, you know, I have an out-of-the-box theory on that, and I do think that there's some type of chemical balancing issues that are involved there, but I do think that we can create an addiction in our mind within 2 weeks, and we can actually make that addiction a reality. I know that because I used to smoke, and I remember when I first started smoking, it had nothing to do with I wanted to smoke, it's because I wanted to fit in.
Yep.
And then I remember over like a 2 week period of time, I would have, you know, a cigarette here or there. After 2 weeks, I had created this habit. I had become addicted to something that it wasn't even in my mind before.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of times we use these addictions as things that we can't deal with. And I know that some of them are hard to get over when you've been doing drugs or alcohol for a long period of time, but there's a reason why you're doing that drug. What are you numbing yourself from figuring out? There's a reason why we drink so much. Why do we drink till we pass out? Is it because we're trying to forget something? Is it because we're trying to not understand something? And I think that really goes into the next concept, and that is to begin to self-understand. And I'm not talking this mumbo-jumbo crap. You know how everybody goes, oh, you do some self-understanding. Oh, that's so zen of you. Oh, that's so great. Oh, you're so metro. Well, no, we're talking about self-understanding, to know thyself and to begin to realize why you make specific choices. Because once you start to know yourself, you'll get the insight for yourself on why you choose certain things. Why do you feel certain ways? So, for example, going back to Bill's thought process, you know, if you find yourself in an addictive way, addicted to something, you got to sit back and check and say, what is it? Why am I addicted to this? Is it because I'm bored? Is it because I need something to fill my time, or is it because I don't really want to get to know the reason why I'm doing this?
Yeah.
And again,
yeah.
It doesn't necessarily have to be drugs and alcohol. You
no.
could have a food addiction. You no. could have a. Actually, I know a guy. I think he's addicted to video games.
Yeah. That's not uncommon. I'll give you a great example. As a lot of the listeners know, I was, you know, married before and have the wonderful opportunity to get remarried and all of that. But in that process, I had to go to, you know, counseling to kind of understand what I was dealing with through the divorce, because I had a hard time with feeling as though I had failed. Being an athlete and being a competitor, winning was important to me. But in the process, I learned that I had a complex. And the complex that I learned that I had was a savior complex, as the therapist presented at that time. And I didn't realize what that was. I just thought I was trying to be a good guy and be a good mate for women and all of that. But I consistently chose women that were in the red zone, in a certain level of danger. And subconsciously, I would feel, though, and be rewarded emotionally because I was the person that could help them get out of a situation, whether it was financial, whether it was emotional and whatever. And when she pointed that out, I realized how destructive that was and how I had been doing that and did not realize that I'd been doing that.
My mother's ex-partner, that describes him to
yeah.
a T.
Yeah.
To a T.
Yeah. Yeah. And maybe that's a lot. Maybe it's a guy thing, a person thing, but I did not realize that. I was always raised to be a gentleman and be kind and all of that, but it was an extreme version of it in how I chose my partners historically. But once I realized it, you said, I know what, I got to work on this and flip it the other way. So
yeah, that's very true. I mean, I have clients all the time that go through the savior complex, and it's actually not just male, it's also a female thing too.
Yeah.
There's a lot of women out there that find men and they basically take care of them. They you know, they clean them up, they get their hair cut, they get them new clothes, they change them all up, and you know, and then they wonder why the guy kind of takes off and runs around.
Yeah.
But a lot of times people choose projects.
Yeah,
you know, I got
deal.
Some issues within myself that I don't really want to look at.
There you
but
go.
This person's really messed up, and I really need to help them, because if I help them, that'll make me feel better.
Or make my issues not seem as massive or as complex or as big, you know?
And, oh, yeah, because they're shining out. They're the elephant in the room.
But it takes an honest evaluation. And again, I hate to keep going back to sports in this, but it's a great analogy. In football, when you had a bad game, especially at a high level at the university I went to, what would we do? We would go back and we would analyze the tape. And some of you fans out there, you hear that on Monday morning. They got shows Monday morning quarterback and what have you. But you analyze the tape. And we would do it to the millimeter of a step that you took in regards to an angle that you would maybe take to cover a guy or make a play on the ball. But what that taught me is that psychologically, you also have the opportunity to go back and analyze the tape. And it's not in a critical sense, but it's to Ashley's point earlier, it's to make sure that you don't make the same mistake again in the next game to prevent the errors that can occur from that.
Man,
so
I,
analyze
I like
the
that.
Tape. Analyze the tape.
Analyze the tape, but don't keep rewinding it.
But don't keep rewinding.
I mean, watch it. Get what you need out of it in the cycle.
Yep.
But don't keep rewinding, and definitely don't keep recording and playing it.
And yeah. You got to make sure the projector is in focus.
For all you 35 millimeter, I'm a 35 millimeter guy back
yeah.
in the day, Bill.
Go
That's
back.
What you're getting at, right?
Yeah. But, well, I mean, but,
selective memory. Don't be that way either. You know,
yeah,
really
exactly.
focus on what really, because a lot of times we'll get out of a relationship or you move out. Or you'll move from another, like I had a friend recently go, I can't believe I just did this. And he's like, you know, you moved to a new practice. And he's like, I don't know what I was thinking. And
yeah.
I said, you know what you were thinking is that you couldn't stand the previous practice. You had,
yeah.
And I started, you know, listing all the issues that he had. Oh my God, you're right. Oh, thanks for reminding me.
Yeah.
You know, and because a lot of times we were very selective, especially with change. Because change scares us, and change makes us want to go back to what's not working. No matter how uncomfortable the comfort zone is, we want to run back because we're like, oh, I'm scared. Oh, I don't know about this. I think we need to keep moving on. But no, that's what it is. So when you feel that need to run, analyze, why am I feeling like I need to run? If I feel like I'm moving in the right direction of a good change in my life, why am I trying to run back to home plate where every time I go back there, I get the same thing every time? So when we return, we're going to be talking more about what the New Year's represents and also even more ways that you can make 2015 the best year yet. So stay tuned, because Perspectives with your host, me, Ashley Burgess, we'll be back in two shakes.
I can lift you up. I can show you what you want to see and take you where you want to be.
Give
Get in here and give us your perspective. We're listening. You're listening to Perspectives with Ashley Burgess.
Welcome back live to Perspectives, and I'm your host, Ashley Burgess. Tonight's show, we've been discussing what the new year should represent and how 2015 can be your best year yet. You know, we always hear about that stuff about, oh, 2015 is going to be your best year, and half of us go, which is going to be a representation of last year. But let's actually make a change on that. And right before break, we were discussing about how one of the ways that you can make 2015 the best year yet is to realize and to understand you, to start doing some self-understanding, some self-realization. And I'm not talking about the mumbo-jumbo of om and sitting in a certain type of style, Indian style, and looking up to the sun and gazing.
Although, if that works for you, then more power to you.
Well, Ashley, you're Native American, so you have a right to do that, right? It's all of us.
We all have a right to do it. That's right. But I'm not going to sit there and push that on everybody tonight. So, just a little bit of self-understanding of why we do what we do. I mean, why do we create the options in our life, and what are our true feelings about ourselves? That's what's so important, is because, you know what, it really, nothing else really matters. And let me go on a little bit of a divert little trail here. A lot of times we worry about what everybody else thinks about us. Or we worry about, oh my gosh, I wonder how this person thinks about me. Well, you know what, in the end, none of that matters. It's all about what you think about you. Because when you think about you a certain way, if you think about it that way long enough, I'm going to think that way about you. So it's just a self-realization. It's a self-realization prophecy that the way that you believe in yourself will outwardly come out, and everybody around you will associate that with you.
And you know, Ashley, that works in reverse too.
Well, that's what I'm saying. On every single level, that works. So if you don't like yourself and you think yourself is lesser than everybody around you is going to think that you're not good.
And you know what? I'm going to bring up the example of the ex-coworker from hell. Who I have mentioned on several occasions on this show.
That alone, the label is the ex coworker from hell. That's because she thought she was from hell too, right?
Obviously she made quite an impression on me. Which, by the way, for our listeners, if you are interested in hearing more about the ex coworker from hell, you can go to AshleyBurgess.com to listen to previous shows. You can also go to iTunes, and you can go to
Spreaker. We're gonna have some pictures of her up too. So
I know, right? Of course, she'll probably say, oh, look at that picture, I'm terrible.
Probably looks like all the other ex-coworkers from hell out there.
Well, I'm telling you, I mean, and bless this lady's heart. I mean, I know I tried to, make a positive impression on her, but she's just one of those people that, everything was horrible, everybody was out to get her, we're all trying to get her fired. And,
I was trying to get her fired, and I didn't even work for the company.
Right,
I don't even know her.
You were trying to get her fired. Yeah. And, all her life, people treated her this way. And, it just got to the point where I knew if I had to work with her that day, I would dread it. It's like, you've ever had one of those mornings, Ashley, where you've got something unpleasant to do that day. So,
like, go to work. not in Ashley's line, but other people.
Not in Ashley's line. But I mean, something especially unpleasant at work that day, and so it's like, oh, okay, I'm going to drag getting out of bed. I'm going to drag getting out of the shower.
I get it, man. That's why Ashley, and you bring up a wonderful dynamic, and that's why celebrities intrigue me, because they are typically you think you know them, but you don't, and so you have all these personalized opinions of them, and so it's got to be a weird feeling to be a celebrity and then to be around people who have all these judgments about you, who think they know you, who have absolutely no idea about who the essence of who you are. And it's got to be a mentally and psychologically, that's got to be a weird dynamic. And I think about that in terms of, I read a lot of comments and all of that, sometimes on social media. And some of the input and the perspective that people share is so completely outside of the reality that we all share together. It's just amazing to me.
You know, Eric, we should ask our resident celebrity about how that. Ashley?
The one I'm looking across from. Ashley, how does it feel to be a celebrity and have people have opinions of you that know absolutely nothing about you, Ashley?
Oh, that's interesting. Because I think people make opinions about everybody. Isn't that funny how we, even no matter who it is. So think about everybody listening tonight, no matter what you're doing, you walk into work and you realize that every single person that you see has an opinion of you.
Yeah.
And it was funny because the other day I look at different levels of how people can garnish an opinion, which I think is kind of fun.
So these,
because you know, I'm a therapist and I love this kind of stuff, and I'm big onto the, all that kind of great fun stuff. So for example, I was at a brunch the other day, and one of the gentlemen there, I had dated back when I was like 18,
mm-hmm.
and he had also dated the girl sitting next to me.
Awkward.
Well, we've been friends forever, so I mean, this was years ago, and she and I've known each other for
a
long time.
Not so awkward.
So there's two other women, like you know, sitting at the end, and they don't know me at all. They have no idea who I am. I'm not wearing my wedding ring because I forgot it that day. And so to listen to this conversation, there's no telling what those two women think about the whole situation because one, they had very limited knowledge base.
Yeah.
They had no idea of essential information that was needed in the story or the situation. And so especially with celebrities, people go, oh, well, I know everything about Angelina Jolie.
Yeah.
Or I know everything about Brad Pitt or Tom Cruise. We don't know anything about these people. I mean, honestly, we might know a little sliver of reality and fiction, and based on that, we make this judgment call, which we have no way of making. And it's funny how the more judgment calls you make on people, the more they make on you. Even if it's people you don't know, it's funny how those types of things can kind of come back at you, especially when you're talking to somebody and saying, oh, I think Tom Cruise is a really bad person, based on the fact that he's a Scientologist, and based on the fact that I know that, you know, him and Katie Holmes are broken up and all this stuff. And you sit there and you go, you don't know anything about them.
You weren't in that house.
Yeah,
you weren't in the house.
Yeah.
You weren't at the church. You weren't with these people. And I think when people start making judgment, that opens them up for a whole floodgate
of
judgments.
Which goes back to your initial point. The only opinion or judgment, which is a word I don't use much, but the only opinion that matters is the opinion that you have of yourself, because you're the only witness. You're the only full-time 100% witness to self. And so therefore, that's the only authentic and real and valuable opinion that matters.
You know, and our listeners tonight who, you know, maybe, because actually you and I both know people who seem to just get off on caring about what others think of them. And it's like they're so insecure, you know, that everybody has to like them. And if one person, you know, doesn't like them, then their world is ruined.
It's true, and a lot of times that's also codependency. I mean, so there are reasons why they have organizations called CODA. There are organizations out there for codependency. I mean, a lot of times we don't find enough love within ourselves. We're not ready to look and be intimate with ourselves, so we'd rather be intimate with everybody else around us at any stake. And it doesn't matter how much of yourself you seem to give away. And I think one more clarity option too is that, you know, if you're doing things in your life that you're not proud of, and you're having issues with that, you need to deal with that on your own. Most people aren't ever going to know about that kind of stuff with you, but that's only going to come and beat you up on a daily basis, and you have to be right with you. If you're right with you, then it's your life. You know what I mean? It's your life. I'm not going to sit there and tell you what not to do. You know, and I think the biggest thing, too, is just understanding yourself. If you can understand yourself and you can get there with yourself, it's amazing. So let's go into this next point, and we'll talk about it more after the break. But I think a lot of times we have to see the reality of what's around us instead of really making those assumptions. And I think this goes back to your comment as well. Instead of seeing and making the assumptions based on preconceived notions, I think a lot of times we don't see the reality of anything around us. We don't see the reality based on people, based on situations, based on things that we think might be a reality. We see things completely different.
And again, actually, we'll get into this more in the next hour, but isn't one of the challenges to that is a lot of people make their own realities. And, you know, so not to get too, you know, existential here, but, you know, what is reality?
Okay, we'll talk about that when we return.
You know what I mean? Talking about getting deep and, you know, philosophical.
Hey, right before the break. Well, we will talk about that. Maybe we'll talk a little bit of Star Wars, too, here in a little while. But I need to get out my deck of cards and start playing a little bit of Texas Hold'em. But when we return, we're going to be talking more about the reality of what's around us and how to really understand what's a reality and what's an assumption. Stay tuned. Perspectives with your host, me, Ashley Burgess. We'll be back in two shakes.
You're You're in a good place now. Relax, breathe, smile. You've entered into your element, the home of origin, the home of intelligence and beauty, where relevant topics are discussed, where what you think counts, and where superior is the norm. You are listening to Perspectives with Ashley Burgess.
I like Perspectives with Ashley Burgess, but I prohibit my workers from listening to it.
Welcome back live to Perspectives, and I'm your host, Ashley Burgess. And on tonight's show, we've been discussing what should the new year represent, and how can 2015 be your best year yet? You know, right before the break, we had been discussing this whole new concept of how to see and to begin to see the reality of what's around you instead of making assumptions based on your preconceived notions. You know, we do this all the time. We see the reality of what we want to see based on our own interpretation of the world around us, and rarely do we see the truth in the matter. I know I see people make assumptions about people on a daily basis, and they're so far-fetched and so out of touch, I don't even know how they go through life based on these assumptions. You know what I'm saying, Eric? It's like unbelievable. Like, I had a person the other day make this assumption of this woman that I had been walking with, and she took off, and somebody walked back up to me and was like, "Oh, well, what was that about?"
Yeah.
And they have no idea that she's a single woman and a single mom just trying to make ends meet. And they were making all these judgment calls on this person. I'm thinking, you don't even have a clue.
It has nothing to
who
do
this
with
person
you.
Is at yeah. all. Yeah. You know, you look yeah. at them for 1 second and you just judge them.
Go ahead.
No, I was going to say, I mean, but I think that kind of goes back to the point I alluded to at the end of the last segment. We've been taught, I think, over the past 20, 30 years or so, you know, make your own truth, make yeah. your own reality. And, you know, if you're kind of judging a person like that, then, you are fitting that person into, you know, that person's place in your universe rather than seeing
power.
Her for,
yeah, they yeah. have power. Yeah.
And so, you know, we need to, understand, I think, you know, the objective truth rather than just your own personal truth.
Yeah, and I think that personal truth and personal reality is becoming increasingly important today because we live in a world of illusions, whether it's the illusion of the individual, it's the illusion of the group, it's the illusion of the society. And I think the most valuable asset that any human being will have as we move forward, and things are going to become more complex, more technologically forward. But I think the biggest value that we have and the most powerful asset that we have as individuals is the power to define self through the channel of knowing thyself.
And we do have the power to define self, but I also think that relativism can be taken too far.
No, I agree. Anything can be taken too far. Yeah.
And I think as a society, we are kind of taking it too far, Ashley.
Sure.
I mean,
Taking what too far?
Relativism.
What do you mean by that?
Well, where, my reality is the truth for me. Eric's reality is the truth for him. Mine is not better than his. His isn't better than mine. But doesn't it obscure kind of the reality?
Yes. I mean, like, there's only a certain level of life that you can live in a bubble. And sadly enough, most people never understand another person, period.
Right.
For the sad part of it, they don't even understand why other people make judgments on them. Like, I'm actually at that point consciously where I can go into a situation and I can see a person look at me a certain way when I'm in a conversation.
Yeah.
And I go, okay, one, either they look like that when they're being talked to, which is a possibility, okay?
Yeah.
Sometimes people don't know what they look like when they're listening. They can look like they're about to pounce on you.
Yeah.
They can look like they're about to pass out on you. Two, it could be something I said. Or three, it could be an assumption that's being made about me prior to this response.
Yeah.
And so I will literally sit there and I'll figure out exactly, and I'll normally get to it. And all of a sudden, you see this light dawn on this person,
yep,
and they've realized that they made an assumption that, one, they have no right to make.
Yep.
Two, an assumption that was based on limited knowledge base.
Yep.
Or even faulty information.
Well, limited, nothing. You're right, on nothing. Or yes, or information
incorrect,
that they got.
Faulty, yeah.
A lot
yeah.
of it based on their own interpretation.
Yeah, yeah.
And, you know, a lot of it not even there.
You know, yeah, you're right, Ash. That's a really good point. You see the filters being removed, and that's a very acute awareness or an experience gender-wise. I'm sure from the perspective of being a young lady, you go into situations and maybe you're the only young lady, and you can see that there's a certain kind of environment. But once folks realize that, hey, I've got something to offer, I've got something to bring to the table, I've got a valuable perspective, those preconceived notions go away. Ethnically, sometimes we want to put people in a box ethnically, but as you have conversations, as you talk, as you encounter folks, then those layers of preconceived notions melt away, and that light bulb goes off, and that, hey, I'm dealing with someone who has a valuable perspective. And so I think there's a level of flexibility, knowing thyself, but also knowing thyself within the context of others balances you out to a very high degree, because we don't live in a bubble, and we don't live to some degree from a reality perspective in a complete echo chamber.
And also, knowing ourselves in the context of our own life experiences and also our experiences in relating to other people.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Well, also, the other thing, too, is that a lot of times we don't give enough information. And the other day, I went into a situation where there were four people standing there, and it was a conversation, and I was just like, it looked like they were kind of looking through me.
Yeah.
And I realized within a few minutes that none of these people had enough information about me to even understood where I stood.
Yeah.
And I didn't have time to offer that information. However, anytime that I deal with a situation like that, the best thing is to give more information about yourself than you would expect to have to give. Because people normally want more. They don't ask for it, but they need more.
They need more,
The whole idea of too much information, TMI, is the stupidest comment that ever came out in the century of the planet. Everybody needs more information. And TMI is not at all a bad thing, because a lot of times people just make assumptions. And that's what the joke is about texting. Is because we have limited knowledge base, and you're trying to assume, what is that person telling me? As well as, don't expect others to know who you are.
Yeah.
I mean, just because somebody might not get you, don't sit there and say, well, they haven't taken time to get to know who I am.
Well, have you given them enough?
Yeah, you haven't given them enough, and guess what? You probably don't know anything about them either. So if you want to take time and grow this relationship, spend a few minutes and discuss. Otherwise, just let it go.
Yeah. I was going to say, real quickly, Eric. I mean,
You're fine.
That's why we shouldn't over-rely on technology to interrelate with people.
No, I agree. Two points. That's why communication in marriage and in a relationship is so vitally important. But so many people today go into relationships, obviously sometimes based on past history or disappointments, and they're reserved. What I've learned in my marriage is the more I offer up, the better my wife has information in which to make better decisions or better comments about a particular situation. The other point was texting. How many folks of you folks out there have been in a text conversation and just simply at some point had to pick up the phone to figure out exactly what the other person was saying?
I've done that a million times.
Yeah, because it didn't come across. So I was like, what in the world are you calling me? Yeah, what are you saying?
Something is missing.
Yeah, something is missing, you know? Yeah.
I had a friend of mine, we tried to schedule a birthday party together in California, and let's put it this way, we didn't get on the phone to talk about it.
Yeah.
We were on the wrong weekend. Wrong weekend.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, I don't know how it happened.
Yeah.
But they sent me, I said, and we
didn't
talk about it.
Information.
Yeah, so there I am ready on Saturday, and they're like, next Saturday.
Yeah.
You know, Ashley, I said on previous shows that I actually witnessed this once upon a time. I was having lunch, and at the next table, there were two, late teen, early 20s something couple, and they were texting, having a conversation through text on their phones. They were literally sitting as close as you and I are and texting each other.
Yeah.
Rather than, they weren't even making eye contact. Yeah. Just, looking down at their phone. Which
the guy was texting his other girlfriend, and the girl was texting her other boyfriend.
maybe so, yeah. Instead of
that's just, more of what it was.
I can't wait to see you later, sweetie. What are you doing now? I'm in a meeting.
I'll be over there as soon as possible.
This meeting is the most boring meeting I've ever been in. I can't wait to see you.
Yeah, which, by the way, Ashley, we would be derelict in our duty if we didn't remind our listeners that if they want to hear about the young couple texting each other, they can go to previous shows on where? Your turn, Eric. Go ahead.
AshleyBurgess.com.
And?
And Spreaker.
And?
And
iTunes.
Yeah.
God bless you. Put him on the spot right there.
Me, you're the one that pointed to
the most low tech person in here, man.
We've got to get him some tech classes.
You guys got to upgrade me.
Because we got to go back to number one. We can't just sit there and say, leave your limitations. Lead with your limitations. You have to say, okay, I might not be tech savvy, and Bill might not be a networker, but y'all got to learn a little bit of these steps. I bet your son Malcolm could probably teach you a little bit about this.
I bet he could.
He probably could. You know, he's learning Chinese right now. He's learning Mandarin. He's learning
Spanish.
He can
teach us all Chinese.
Yeah, he can teach us all Chinese, and he's 6 years old. Go
That's
figure,
awesome.
Man. Yeah.
That's awesome. Yeah. And he's sitting right here in the studio with us.
Yeah, yeah.
So when we return, we're going to be talking more about judging and how we judge others. And this really loops into what we were talking about, because when you see the reality as your reality, you have a tendency of judging. And guess what? People do the same to you because they don't understand you either. So stay tuned. And when we return, we're going to be talking more about how you can make 2015 your best year ever. Perspectives with Ashley Burgess will be back in two shakes.
Turn it up and jump in the deep end on Perspectives with Ashley Burgess. The water's warm and there's a swim-up bar. Glass of Perspective, anyone? Now, here's Ashley.
Welcome back live to Perspectives, and I'm your host, Ashley Burgess. Tonight's show, we've been discussing New Year's, what it represents, and how 2015 can be the best year yet for you. You know, right before the break, we started discussing judgment. And, you know, when we talked about the concept of the reality of what's your reality versus what the actual reality of things are versus assuming things, a lot of times we meet people and we make instant snap assumptions. And we base this on what? No knowledge. We base this on theories and thoughts of things that have happened in our past. We base this on looks. We base this on the way we feel that day. Sometimes we don't even realize that emotionally we might be a little off. And so anybody that we meet is, we don't feel that good about. They got something to hide. Something's up. And so let's go into the whole concept of judging. When we do these assumptions and make these assumptions, we do what? We judge others. We make judgments on what we think those people are thinking or what we think these people are thinking. And a lot of times judgments are not a positive thing. Sometimes they don't have to be completely negative, but a lot of times we can say, I think this person's this way, this person's that way. And so when you meet them, you have a clouded thought process of them. You can't get past that, really.
Yeah.
And so all your conversations are based on a certain surface-type mentality that until you sit there and say, you know what, I really don't know any of this to be true.
Yeah.
I need to go into this as like learning about a newborn, like something that I have no idea about. Go into that and then make my decision. I'm not saying everybody you're going to meet is going to be wonderful people, but I am saying you have a better chance of making lasting relationships if you just allow yourself to meet someone. And honestly get to know them.
Yeah, and meet somebody different. I cannot tell you. And 2014 was a great year for me in that regard, Ashley, because I had a chance to do a lot of traveling, as you and the listeners know. And I met people from different backgrounds. And a lot of the people I met this year were folks, that are from completely different backgrounds, folks that I normally would not meet if not for the circumstances that I was in. And to your point, Ashley, you know, we would sit down and, you know, oftentimes we'd be in the mountains and it was just us, or we'd be in some isolated place and we'd sit down and just have conversations. And those conversations were some of the most enlightening conversations that I've had in my life, because I learned something different about someone who seemingly was the complete opposite of me. They were more conservative, or they were more liberal, or whatever the term is. They were taller, they were shorter, they were whatever. But I learned so much more from opening up and having those conversations. And truthfully, I learned more about myself than I did about the other folks.
You know, Ashley, when I was in college, I was always drawn to the foreign exchange students.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, and so even though I don't have a big circle of contacts, I was always, making friends with, people who were from a different cultural background, from, different country, because I just liked the contrast. Between my life experiences and that person's life experiences, and finding common ground.
You know, Bill, that's what I love about you, real quick, Ashley. That's what I love about you, man. You're such a wonderfully intuitive soul. And funniest thing, man, my oldest daughter, Naomi, is about a year and a half away from going to college, and we have these various talks when I'm taking her to school, and that's one of the things that I share with her. I said, when you go to college, make sure that you surround yourself with people that don't look like you. People that come from different backgrounds, because that will inform your college experience in ways that you cannot even imagine right now. So I appreciate you saying that.
My freshman year is funny. At the end of my freshman year, my dad, He goes, Ashley, why can't you have any white friends?
Yeah.
And he goes, go get some white friends, for God's sakes. He's like, what is up with this? You got Arab friends, you got Indian friends, you got people from here and there. And I was like, because I want to. I mean, I don't see why I have to have just white friends.
You're prejudiced, that's why.
Yeah,
you're prejudiced.
You need
white.
To work on that, Ashley.
I'm prejudiced against white people.
That's right. Right.
Ashley,
the white people's party. I love the Blues Brothers.
Some good white folks. God. Ashley, you need to surround yourself with some more white folks.
I know. You know, I really don't do that. I mean, besides Bill, I mean, you're kind of like the, you're like the token white guy.
I am the token white guy. That's me.
Hey, you know what? But it's a heck of a token, man. Heck of a token,
yeah,
man.
Right?
That's my big money token over there, man.
Oh, yeah. And I still have that deal in his will, remember?
Yeah, yeah, I was going to say, yes.
But I want everything, or at least half. I'll get half of all your CDs and all the old stuff, maybe an old computer that doesn't
and
work.
And remember, you get the privilege of taking me out.
I know.
At the end of my life,
you know what's funny about the whole token thing. Yesterday it was the token black thing or token African American thing. We're out of style already, Bill. It's the token white guy now.
Yep.
It's a token white guy.
It's cycled around. Hasn't
and that's
it?
As soon as I got used to being a token, then you guys just sent me out to pasture.
That's right.
Think about Bill, man. He's like the only white guy hanging out. You know, everybody's like, Bill is cool, man. Cool beans. Watch his moves, dude. Watch his moves.
I am like this. So the most uncool person you've ever met, you know.
No way, but you know, no
but,
way.
You know, but you know, but you know what's funny about that, and I just got to have a minute, man, and you guys can say whatever you want in the audience. Just by you saying that, Bill, makes you one of the coolest people that I've known. And believe it, outwardly you may not think you're cool, but man, there's some cool things about you, man, that just make all the stuff, the definition of cool, you turn it upside on its head, man.
I like that.
Yeah, seriously.
See, oh, look at this.
I am self-aware and I'm aware of my reality. That's a good segue back into Ashley's
And that's what makes you cool, man.
Reality.
And that's what makes you cool. I'm
that's
sorry.
What makes you
cool.
No, don't
cool.
be cool. Don't be sorry. We're all good.
Yeah.
You know, the little back patting on the back right there.
And that's what makes you cool.
Broke my arm.
because
I think he pulled out a joint or something.
I did.
Yeah. Watch out. Because to that point, I'd rather have you, Bill, than to have the guy or the girl that's wearing the latest fashions, that's driving the latest car, that's living in the latest and the coolest address, that's got the perfect haircut, that's got the perfect mate and the perfect spouse, because that's not real.
You know, that's funny.
It's not real.
That actually segues right back into our whole concept, and that is the next point of how to make 2015 the best year yet is if you want real, keep it real. If you want real, keep it real, because that's what it's all about. I mean, that was great, by the way. You know, think about it. If you want to be real and you want real around you, guess what? You got to give real too. Okay, I can't sit there and say I want real people. I just want all these people that aren't BSing me. You know, that's all this. It's all this BS all around me, and all these people just playing these games and acting this way, and they all think that they're cooler than me. I think there was a song written by that. Think you're cooler than me. Anyway, if you want real, keep it real. If you want fake, be fake. You will draw to you what you give. So whatever you give out, you will get back.
Yeah.
It's just the way it is. Even people out there listening to me right now that are on Tinder. There's a website called Tinder, and it's a dating website. And even if you're on Tinder, you know, the whole concept is that you have to be, no, you don't have to kill it. We have a spider in the studio. We're going to let him be. We have a spider in the studio. He's actually been around for a long time, and I'd prefer to keep him. He's been here for a little while. Anyway, and he's not a bad spider. There's a difference between good and bad spiders, so I want to keep it real. And he helps eat some of the bugs in here. And
awesome.
Spiders are our friends.
Some of them are.
Most of them aren't.
Mm-hmm.
Some of them
don't like you at all, and some of them just want to take you down.
There's two or three that you need to stay away from, but most of them, you know, the spiders are good. They eat bugs.
He's been living up over there for a while.
And they can eat all the bugs they want, as far as I'm concerned.
I've looked into the soul of that spider, and it's a good spider.
It's a daddy long legs spider. So daddy,
can daddy
long
legs be women too?
Mama long legs?
Mama long legs? I don't know.
Baby, show me a little more leg.
Why don't you look under a skirt and see if it's a daddy
I'm
or a mama.
I'm not touching it. I love it, but it's my friend. But I don't. Every time I try to touch a bug, you know, just to like as a kid, you know, how kids you look at it. They always end up hurting them, so I don't want to touch them. I just want to let them be because they have these little frail legs and stuff like that. And if you just
imagine
touch them
how
wrong,
they feel, they're like a quarter of an inch, if that. And then you hear you come, you know, 5'7", and it's like Imagine.
Yeah, they think you're going to kill them and eat them. That's why spiders will, any animal will defend itself like
giant
that.
Human.
So yeah. If you want real, you keep real. So
keep
I'm being real with the spider here. See,
keep
I'm
it
being real.
Real
with the real. With the nature.
The spider is our reality.
This is our reality.
Because we just spent the past 5 minutes talking about a stinking spider here.
Well, y'all freaked out. I saw Eric pointing over there, and then I saw you about to get up and take it down. I was like, no.
The brother was about to sprint out of the studio.
Because not only are you wearing a stocking cap and a sweater because you're freezing to death.
Yeah, I fit the description,
but,
right?
But the spider is like, he's not having it. Are you afraid of snakes?
I'm afraid of anything that I can't outrun.
Well, yeah, I mean, but you can outrun a lot of stuff.
Yeah, so I'm not too afraid of snakes.
Okay.
So, yeah.
There are certain things I am. We're not going to go into that tonight, but we'll
I'm afraid of more. I'm more afraid of humans than I am of snakes.
Well, me too. Yeah, I fall in that category,
Lord
too.
Lord have mercy. Y'all have, some issues we need to talk about.
Glad we're now in the studio with a therapist.
Yeah, see? And later on, we'll get on the couch. Y'all will get on the couch separately, and I'll discuss with y'all what you need to talk about. But yeah, so, you know, we want to keep it real. So if you want real, even if you're on Tinder, even if you're on dating sites, if you're on Match.com, what have you, you know, keep it real. I don't always suggest those sites, but if you're going to be on those things, be realistic. Be honest about what you want. Be honest about who you are, because otherwise you're just barking up the wrong tree, spending lots of money, a lot of time doing things you don't need to be doing.
Work for me.
So, you know, work for you?
Yep.
You met on Match.com?
Yeah, I met Jen, and we're on 1 year and 2 months now.
Solid.
Congratulations.
There
solid.
You go.
Another good relationship on
solid.
Match.com.
Solid.
What's that other one? eHarmony?
Yeah.
Another marriage on eHarmony.
Right.
I'm going to start my own dating site.
I think that's my new nickname. Just start calling me eHarmony.
Ooh, eHarmony.
What's your name, baby? eHarmony.
Ooh.
No, use your Barry White voice.
eHarmony.
There
oh,
you go.
Oh, Jesus. I like that. We should start our own dating site, though, the Perspectives Dating.
I like it.
You know what I mean? Hot or not. So when we return, we're going to be talking more about what you can do this 2015 to make this the best year ever. Perspectives with your host, me, Ashley Burgess, will be back in. We'll be back in two shakes.
This is Jake Busey, and you're listening to Perspectives with Ashley Burgess.
Welcome back live to Perspectives, and I'm your host, Ashley Burgess. Tonight's show, we've been discussing what the new year should represent to you, and how 2015 will be your best year yet. You know, right before the break, we were talking about spiders, but besides spiders, we were talking about keeping it real, how to be real, and how to keep it real. And, you know, if you want reality in your life, you want people to be real with you, honest with you, you got to be honest and real with them. It's just the way the world works. It's honest. I mean, it's just the reality of it. So if you want that, give it. If you don't want honesty, don't be honest. You know, next up is the biggest thing I see a lot of times on this planet, especially now, is when people are really going after their dreams, other people, you know, they might talk behind their back or they might give them some crap. But the biggest deal is that we see people constantly competing against other people. And that's just not the way the world works. That's not the way life works. It might be the way the world works, but it's not the way life works. You want to only compete with yourself.
Yeah.
And let me say that again. You only want to compete with yourself. You only want to be better than you were yesterday. And the reason for that is if you want your life to be the best life it can be, if you want your life to be your true life, if you want to live your true life, right? If you want to live your true life, you can only compete with yourself. You want to better yourself, be better than you were yesterday. Constantly building on your character. Constantly building on your honesty, on your excellence, on being the best person. You know, a lot of times we sit there and go, well, I'm being a pretty good person. I've helped out these people. I've done this. I've done enough right now. You know, right when you think you've done enough, you got to keep on doing. And I know that sometimes it feels like you're helping everybody to the point where you're like, well, who's helping me? You know, I feel like nobody's helping me, but you have to keep moving past that and continue to keep working through it. And I've been there. I mean, I remember a few, even in the recent 6, 7, 8 months, thinking, okay, I'm helping all these people and I don't know what's happening for me.
Yeah.
But I've realized it's not about you. In this situation, the more we think about ourselves, the more we actually get off course.
You know, and I'll bet you a significant chunk of our listeners just fainted or had a heart attack right now. It's not about me. What do you mean it's not
about
me? What's
in it for me? What's in it for me?
It's all about me, you know, because, I mean, you know, and society today just, I mean, just totally contradicts, it seems like, what you just said, Ashley. Advertising is all about, you know, making yourself feel better. If it feels good, then do it. And so, you know, spend money on clothes and you know, they're going to be out of fashion in less than 6 months, on electronics that are going to be obsolete in less than 6 months. And, you know, it's making yourself the god of your own little mini-verse almost. And so you're kind of asking people to kind of go against the grain almost.
You know, if you want to know a lot about not putting yourself second or putting yourself last, become a father. I don't know, Ashley, if you could be a dad, but be a dad.
I'm going to try to be a dad.
Yeah, okay. It's a lot of pressure. It's a lot of pressure. You have to have broad shoulders.
Can I be the mom?
That'd be awesome. You can be the mom.
Don't tell Greg that, though. And don't tell Jen.
My wife.
You're going to be my new wife, Bill. I'm really happy about this.
Oh, we're really flipping the script here. This is crazy, man. I'm in an alternate universe, man.
Hey, let me tell you something. I have a great pair of legs. I look good in a skirt.
Yeah, and
you look good in a skirt?
Hey, you know what? We're going to start calling you Daddy Long Legs.
There you go.
No, I'm Daddy Long Legs. Mama Long Legs.
Oh, okay. Well, we're flipping the script.
We're flipping the script there.
Alternate universe.
Did see, your wife was my wife last week.
Oh, that's
and
right.
And now he's going to be my wife, so I don't know.
To my point.
What is your point?
I don't have a point anymore.
I was
going
to say, do you even have a point?
My point is lost in the shuffle, man.
Let's continue on, and then we're going to find Eric's point here in a second.
There's nothing more rewarding, to me at least in my life, than putting myself second as a dad. I'm not going to lie to you. Christmas for me was just an opportunity to really kind of sit back and look at everybody else be happy, man. So that was kind of my point. So
I love that. I love that. Yeah. And, you know, that kind of leads us in a little bit into what we're talking about, because I feel that, you know, being a dad and being a parent can really take you out of your comfort zone sometimes. It's the things you don't know. You're not prepared for it. Nobody, I know there's Dr. Spock's book or whatever, but nobody gives you a book and says, okay, your kid will be born and this is what's going to happen day one. And after that, this is what's going to happen, and this is what's going to happen, and this is how people are going to feel around you. So the next concept of making 2015 your best year yet is to disobey your comfort zone. It's to disobey your comfort zone.
Nice.
And, you know, guess what? You risk your boredom, you risk depression, not having depression, and you risk unhappiness. Because our comfort zone, what does it do? It keeps us in a zone, usually, that's uncomfortable, depressing, bored, and we're unhappy because we're not doing what we want to do. You know, we all have something within us that we feel like we can push ourselves. However, a lot of times we run that race and we run the race again and we run the race again and we go, yeah, it didn't work out. I'm just going to stay here now because I tried 3 times and it's not.
I'm
going to
go dig a hole and, you know, cover myself up.
Yeah, I'm just going to be, I'm done.
Never see the light again.
I had somebody the other day say, you know, hey, they started a company based on some talks with me. And I said, yeah, I think you can do this. You know, let's go and basically fill out, you know, go through these processes. And they created this company and they did it and they're in the process of doing it. And I got a call the other day and they were like, well, I'm having these problems. And I said, your business is in the infancy stage. I go, you've done quite well for the first 8 months of a business. I said, but come back to me in 3 or 4 years,
yeah,
and let me know. I said, you, just because one bad thing happens doesn't mean that you fold up and you close up shop and you sell everything and you go, well, it didn't go my way.
Because of Ashley.
Because of Ashley.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, that's another thing,
yeah,
too.
Yeah,
oh,
yeah.
Ashley told me to do this. And it's like, no, I suggested you wanted to do this. I suggested it was a good idea to see, you know, and to basically push yourself. But however, a lot of times, like we were talking about earlier, it's easy to go back to that comfort zone and say, well, I didn't have to push myself here. You know, I could go home early, I could drink, I could do what I wanted to do. And you know what happens, though, is that you end up having regret. I mean, regret is not a nice thing.
Yeah.
Regret is not a nice thing. Regret is an awful thing. And, you know, it's funny because I know I go back to this analogy a few times in the past, and you can hear some of the past shows on Spreaker, or you could listen to them on iTunes with Perspectives with Ashley Burgess. And I talk about the concept of the prom. And I know everybody listening tonight that went to high school, went to a high school, and there was a prom. And I know a lot of people that never went to their prom. They didn't go. And Bill's raising his hand over there. And I know a lot of people that didn't go to the prom, and they thought, I'm not going to no stinking prom. I went to the prom. I went to 5 proms. I went to 2 my freshman year, like 1 my sophomore year, 2 my junior year, and then my senior year, my own. And it was great, and I liked it. And I got to, but I always had to go home really early because my dad had like a curfew of 9 o'clock, and so every date got to go party at the hotel without me, and so I got to get dropped off at like 9:30. Anyway, great, thanks, Dad. So, but you know, at least I showed up into the room. You know, at least I showed up into the into the ballroom, and I put on a dress and I went over there.
What color was your dress?
I went 5 times, but
but you were a beautiful prom date, Ashley.
Thank you. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Brown nose in.
That was really sweet.
Yeah.
Thank you. Yeah. You know. But I had friends that didn't go, and you know, it just they regretted it their whole life. And I remember about 10 years ago, they did a party where it was the prom. And they did a whole ballroom, and anybody that hadn't gone to the prom, it was a prom. And I know a lot of people that went, and it was probably like 4,000 or 5,000 people went to that.
Wow.
And these people got to relive what they regretted, but not all the time is there going to be an event that we put on so you can relive something that you regretted not doing. So, you know, the idea of not doing something based on, I'm scared.
Yeah.
Or I'm comfortable, but yet I'm really kind of sad I'm not doing it. Don't do that. It's better to fall flat on your face and pick yourself back up than to regret knowing if you could have ever done it.
You know, Ashley, Thomas Edison, okay, the guy who invented the light bulb, among, you know, lots of other things, he failed 100 times before he finally found a combination that worked. Think about that.
Thank God.
You know, Thomas Edison, you know, the guy who, you know, the smartest guy who ever lived or whatever.
One of, and
one of the best inventions ever. He failed 100 times.
Yeah.
Before he finally did it.
Well, thank goodness
from
all of us that he had whatever he had in him to pick himself back up and try it again.
Said that. Yeah. Think about if he looked around and like he was hanging out with you, Eric.
Yeah.
Old Tom. And you're like, yeah, Tom. And he's like, you know what? I'm sick of this. I'm going to go down to the watering hole and drink. I'm really done. And you know what? I've been beaten down so many times. I'm going to go work down the street at that printing press. Or
and,
whatever.
Then I'd be in the history books, the guy who didn't allow the light bulb to be invented.
You'd be like, well, let's go drink.
And you'd be burned in effigy to this day.
I'd be burned in effigy to this day, man. Yeah. Wow. Ashes spread all over nothing.
I have a funny feeling you'd be the one kicking his butt all the way back into the lab. Let's go.
Let's do it, man. Let's win this thing. Hey, Tom, let's win this light bulb thing, man. Victory is in our sights. Let's win, Tom. We can do it.
Hike.
The head coach, Thomas Edison's head coach right here, Eric Moore. We're going to call him eHarmony. So when we return, we're going to be giving you more tips on how you can create the best year yet in 2015. Perspectives with your host, me, Ashley Burgess, will be back in. We'll be back in 2 shakes. I can lift you up. I can show you
what you want to see and take you where you want to be. Get in here and give us your perspective. We're listening. You're listening to Perspectives with Ashley Burgess.
Welcome back live to Perspectives, and I'm your host, Ashley Burgess. Tonight's show, we've been discussing New Year's, what it means, but also what you can do in your life to create the best year yet here in 2015. You know, right before the break, we were talking about, you know, the only person to compete against is yourself. You know, and disobeying your comfort zone, getting out of that zone of comfort, being able to sit there and say, you know what, I'm going to try something out, I'm going to put myself on the line, and I'm going to push myself mentally, emotionally, physically. So now let's go to the next 2 things that you can do in 2015 to change it all up and make this the best year yet. Support. It's about supporting yourself and supporting others. You know, a lot of times people ask you to support them in their endeavors. And sometimes it can be difficult because we feel that nobody's supporting us. And I figured out that the best way to get support from others is to support them. in their endeavor. I'm not talking financial support. I'm not sitting there saying you got to hand them money and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. I mean, if you do have it, that's one thing. But I am talking about when somebody asks you, hey, do you mind supporting me in this endeavor, believing in me? If you give that belief back and that support back, you're going to get it a hundredfold.
You're talking about moral and emotional support.
Yes. Yeah. But really honestly being there. If somebody asks you, hey, can you come to my event, please? And you give them enough head time.
Yeah.
They show up.
You know what's funny about that dynamic, Ashley, is, and I've done it for people and people have done it for me. Maybe I'm doing something new or a new business endeavor. Just hearing someone say, you know what, man, if there's anything I can do to support you, just let me know. Now, whether you call upon them or not, but just them saying that is a powerful thing psychologically.
You know, and I think the reason why is because, you know, we are not islands upon ourselves.
Yeah,
we are social
beings. We're interconnected.
And you gain that psychological, emotional support when you know that you have somebody standing there with you.
Yeah.
You know, in spirit, if not, you know, actually in person. So it's like, you know, Ashley, have you ever been in a restaurant where somebody's eating alone and, you know, you can tell that they're not comfortable?
Yeah.
Because human beings are social creatures. We're made to, you know, eat together. You know, now, I mean, you know, like me, I mean, there are people like me and a few other people I know, depending on what it is. I mean, you know, we'd rather be left alone. You know, maybe we're working on something or whatever.
Yeah, situation.
But, you know, it's like, you know, if you got something going on and it really does provide you a momentum boost to know that somebody believes in you.
Well, and I think it's also put your money where your mouth is. I mean, I think that sometimes people will tell you, I support you. Mm-hmm. And that's awesome. But sometimes when you call them on it, you know, hey, I, at this point in time, I do need your support with this. That's always the telltale sign. Mm-hmm. And I've been on that side of it recently just because we've been working on trying to get our own iHeart station for Perspectives. I mean, we're on iHeart, obviously. But, you know, for the show, for our show, not just when it airs on the other stations and all the stations, but for the show consistently. And so when you're asking someone, please, and it takes 2 or 3 minutes, you really do see who really supports you. And, you know, it might take 2 or 3 minutes, but that's why when anybody asks me to do anything, if it takes under an hour, I'll do it. Because I've realized that there were some times when I used to say, oh, I'll get to it, I'll get to it. But then I'm reaping back that benefit now. So I'm reaping back all the karma of any sort of thing
before
that I've had, good, bad, and indifferent. And so it's interesting when you do support, and I do agree that to hear it is awesome too, because there's some people out there that'd rather kick you, you know, but it's like to hear it is good, but then to actually follow through and support others, it matters because it's just a momentum thing. The more we support others around us, a lot of times people think there's a small amount of something. There's a finite amount. They think that there's only a finite amount of goods and services. There's only a finite amount of success. That's not true. I mean, the more successful the people around you become, the more successful you will become if you're around the right people.
That's what I love about the creative environment. I started my career for a lot of listeners out there in advertising, working at ad agencies. And that was the coolest thing about that, in that I needed the creative team to be successful. I needed the media team to be successful. I needed my account services team to work together because we couldn't do it alone. We needed that creative element. And together, the circle of us made success for campaigns for our clients and what have you, which brings me back to a theory I read a long time ago, and it's the linear understanding of life versus the circular understanding of life. And to your point, Ashley, the linear presupposes that there's a finite source of resources on the earth and what have you. And it's linear. It doesn't take into consideration that you're connected to others.
The world is flat.
Exactly. Yeah. The world is flat versus the circular approach, which was a more Eastern and read a lot of it in African culture and history. Circular, in that what I do today impacts tomorrow and what was done yesterday impacts my today.
Karma.
Yeah, karma, basically.
I totally agree with that.
Yeah, yeah.
Everything is circular. I mean, everything works in a circular way. I mean, the earth is round.
Yeah.
Think about the concepts that strives upon. And
planets,
and how,
all of that.
Planets,
yeah.
And how they actually rotate and how all that kind
of stuff
works.
In circles, spirals, all of that, yeah.
All of it, you know, Fibonacci, you know, there's a lot of things behind that. So support others and you will be supported. You know, another thing, too, is that the most difficult thing to do is self-belief. Self-belief. To have self-belief is the most difficult thing we can do. A lot of times it's because of our past setbacks, but a lot of times we just don't even know if we inherently have it within us. Because again, we are our worst enemy. And so the most difficult thing to do is to deal with the fact that I can do this. To believe in oneself honestly enough, truly enough, to accept that things won't happen immediately. You know, we always want to do this really quickly.
Yeah.
You know, everybody wants it yesterday. And that's not the way it works. There has to be a kind of a beginning and a revving up and a continuation. And there's going to be a lot of pushing you because, do you really want this? The universe wants to know, do you really want this? Because if you want this, I'll push you a little bit, and then I'll push you a little bit more, and then I'll push you a little bit more. And most of the time, after that third time, people go, yeah, I've had enough. You know what? This world is a really awful place, and it's really cold and can't get anywhere in life. But if you continue to keep going, things open up.
After that third or fourth try, you give up, and you didn't know that it was the fourth try that was going to be your victory. And that's what my grandfather used to always say. He'd say, little brother, just keep living. If you keep living, you got a shot, and keep living and don't give up. And you're right, Ashley. 100% of the time, that's typically the case.
You know, my grandmother likes to say, you know, of course, she's going on 86. She'll be 86.
Good for her.
This coming
good for
year.
Her. Good for her.
You know, secret of living so long. You got to get out of bed.
Yeah.
Get out of bed.
Yeah.
You know, it's, and a lot of times,
get out of bed.
It's that first step.
First step.
That's the hardest.
Yeah.
And I know in my own life, in my own experiences, that's always been the challenge for me.
Yeah.
Because, see, I'm a perfectionist. And that can be a positive, and it can also be a negative depending on the circumstances. And where it can be a negative, at least with me, is that if I am not 100% sure that I'm going to hit the home run on this, then I'm not going to try it in the first place.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I have to kind of remind myself, another sports analogy, you know, Babe Ruth, who you know, a lot of people think is the greatest player who ever played,
Bambino.
You know, the Bambino, you know, and held the for a long time held the home run record. Well, did you know he struck out twice as many times?
That
he actually hit a home run.
Yeah,
I mean, think about that. I mean,
same
you know,
with Kobe
he went
Bryant.
Up to the plate. He went up to the plate. He always swung, but more often than not,
he struck out.
Now think about it. In other walks of life, if you fail twice as many times as you succeed, maybe you get fired or whatever.
You'd
right?
be done. You'd be back at home.
Yeah. Yeah, same thing with Kobe Bryant.
But you got to come back up to the plate.
Kobe set a record for missed shots.
There you go.
Know, but he's one of the most prolific players ever. You said something, Bill, and I want to toss this out for the listeners and just a dynamic that may be helpful for you. You talked about the first step. That first step is most typically the most difficult step. And for all you folks out there that are parents or have nieces and nephews or around little kids, when you have an opportunity to watch a child take his or her first step, it's one of the most impactful emotional things that you can ever encounter, because you see the kid in the sitting position or crawling, and then you see something magical. You see months and months, or how many ever months it is before a kid takes his first walk, of frustration and trial and error, and then once they take that first step, just watch the baby's eyes.
Their whole universe opens up,
and you're watching that.
It's like a flower blooming.
It's like a flower blooming, yeah. And from that point forward, that child is it's part of a completely different world, and that's a magical moment. I've seen it three times with my kids, and it's the same for us. Take that first step, and a whole world and universe opens up to you, regardless of what it is that you're doing.
I agree with that, and the whole first step concept could relate to lots of things. That could relate to taking your first step, to being honest with yourself, to believing in yourself, to understanding why you emotionally feel this way, to begin to understand why you put yourself in certain cycles and patterns and relationships and work patterns that you have, as well as to make that first step if you're trying to quit smoking, you're trying to quit an addiction, or trying to get in there, work out, and take care of yourself health-wise. You know, there's a lot of things you can do in 2015 to make this the best year yet. And lastly but not least, just remember to love and to be loved. If you want to have love in your life and you want love surrounding you, you've got to also give it. And I think this can be your best year yet. I mean, we hear everybody always talking about, oh, this is going to be your best year. Well, you know what? It is going to be your best year. 2015 is going to be the best. And this New Year's is going to mean a lot more for you than it ever has. Great show, Eric.
Very glad to be here. 2015 in the house.
In the house.
Bring on 2015. I'm ready.
Bill, right. Bill's ready. Good show, Bill.
Thank you very much, Ashley. I learned a lot, as always.
Oh, God bless me. I learned a lot about you and your psyche and Eric's psyche as well.
Solid. And you still love us.
And I still love y'all. And I love y'all, too, for listening. So stay tuned. We have a great show for you next week. And go on and listen to us on Spreaker and iTunes. And if you've missed any of these shows, and you can also share these with other people that you feel might need to just get a little more extra stuff for their 2015. So stay tuned, because Perspectives with your host, me, Ashley Burgess, will be back in 3 shakes.